Grace and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a boy, I read a piece of bathroom literature written on the wall of the stall that has stuck with me to this day. And while that piece of literature was not poetic or prophetic or even proper, it was most certainly profound. It simply stated, eat, S-H-I-T. 100 million flies can't be wrong. Oh, yes, they can be wrong. And they most certainly are wrong. And it's readily obvious when we're talking about something as gross as eating excrement. Whether that be 100 million flies or 100 million people. But it's not so obvious when we're talking about texting while driving, or cheating on an exam, or lying on a job application, or using outlawed performance-enhancing drugs. Then, all of a sudden, things don't seem so bad or so wrong if they're being done by hundreds or thousands or millions of people. I mean, come on, how wrong can it be if everyone else is doing it, right? I mean, the very fact that everyone else is doing it makes it right, right? No, it doesn't. But such is the utilitarian lie. Utilitarianism is the philosophy that actions are right in proportion to how they tend to promote happiness and pleasure among the greatest number of people. And thus, actions are deemed to be right or wrong by virtue of their consequences and the amount of pleasure or pain that they cause for all those concerned. And thus, according to this utilitarian lie, all those young men that I spoke about a few weeks ago down in Panama City Beach who were sexually assaulting that young woman, who were enjoying themselves, and all those people who were standing by watching and videoing the whole event were enjoying themselves, and only the one girl who was being sexually assaulted was not enjoying herself. Thus, the actions of those people were all acceptable and right. Again, this lie seems so obvious when you put it in those terms, doesn't it? But it's not so obvious when the officer pulls you over for speeding, when everybody else was going just as fast as I was. Lance Armstrong, the 7-time Tour de France winner, once he finally came clean about using performance-enhancing drugs, explained his actions by referring to this utilitarian lie. He said, in a sport where many others of the world top cyclists were also using these banned substances, and where winning seemed impossible without using these drugs, Armstrong stated that he didn't feel bad in the slightest because he didn't feel like taking these drugs was wrong. He didn't feel that he was cheating or gaining an unfair advantage in any way. He said that he just thought of it as leveling the playing field. That's what happens when we listen to this utilitarian lie. We lose sight of what's right and what's wrong because of the actions of everyone else around us. We begin to believe and think that if we're going to compete for the job, or the class rank, or the position, etc. That we're going to have to take the same shortcuts that other people around us are taking. We convince ourselves that if everyone else is doing it, well, I mean, it can't be that bad. It must be all right. And we would be stupid not to avail ourselves to the same advantages that other people around us are getting and having. Besides, as we all know, nice guys finish last, right? Well, perhaps they do in this world of deception and corruption. But we as God's children are not living for the rewards of this world, but for the rewards of God's eternal kingdom in the world to come. And Jesus reminded us that when he comes again in his glory, that those who have been first in this world will be last. And those who have been last in this world will in his kingdom be first. Thus, while it might not pay heavenly dividends to live a life of honesty and integrity and Christ-like character, to do the right thing when everyone else around you is doing something different, Christ assures us that it will pay heavenly dividends. In fact, dividends beyond anything we could ever imagine. As the children of Israel were preparing to go into the promised land, and we talked about it in our Old Testament reading today, a land that was inhabited by many different people groups, none of whom believed in God, none of them who knew him or followed his way or his laws. God warned his children, the people of Israel, against the pagan practices of these other peoples. And he said to them, and I quote, "You must not live according to the customs of these nations. Do not defile yourselves. You are to be holy to me. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own," unquote. In other words, when you get to that land of promise that I'm sending you, don't go and do what everyone else around you is going and doing. And then in 1 Peter 2, we're told that God has set us, like Israel, now us, his church, apart from the world also. That he has set us apart as, and I quote, "his chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God," unquote. And thus we're to live such good lives among the people of this world that they're going to see what we're doing and that it's different from the way that they're living, and they're going to want to give glory to God. But that won't and that can't happen if we listen to the utilitarian lie. If we just begin to live and to do what everyone else around us is living and doing. God chose the Israelites to be his people. He chose them to be his witnesses when they went into that land of promise. God has chosen us, his church, also. You see, before he even created the world, he chose you and he chose me to be his set apart people. And then he made that happen by calling us into a relationship of faith with him through baptism. In that moment that the water and the word of holy baptism was applied to us, in that very moment we were washed of our sins. And we became part of God's family. In that moment, all the gifts and all of the blessings that Jesus won through his death and his resurrection became part of our lives. They became our eternal reward. through no merit, no worthiness on our part. We were forgiven of our sins. And we became the children and the witnesses of Jesus. And thus, our barometer for right and wrong behavior cannot and must not ever be the actions and the ways of the people around us. 100 million flies can absolutely be wrong. So can 100 million people. May we thus seek to live our lives always and only by the example of one person, our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for us, and by his holy word, and not by the example of the people of this world. To God and God alone be the glory, for the sake of his Son Jesus. Amen.